Father, speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, help us to be bowed before you, before the throne of God Most High, that you may teach us. Praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. For this is the promise. This is what the promise said. About this time next year, I will return, and Sarah shall have a son. About this time, or, well, this time next year. Casual, almost. Informal. Nonchalant. Incidental. Oh, by the way, about this time next year, your wife, who is well past childbearing age, will have a son to carry on my promise to you. God spoke these words to Abraham about 4,000 years ago. Now, let me ask, I'm going to ask for a couple volunteers, and it's nothing scary. I'm not going to do anything weird. I know you know me, but it's not going to be anything weird. Is there anyone here that's a believer in Jesus, the Son of God, and has trusted him for the forgiveness of sins and has received his gift of eternal life? Anyone here today would a couple, three or four of you stand? Okay, and we're not saying the rest of you are. No, stay standing there for a second. Stay up there for a minute. I know we're going to work you, Stan. You haven't been in church, buddy. We got to get you back in shape. Okay, look. There's a promise fulfilled. You know what I'm saying? Jesus, the Son of God. Remember that obscure, that cryptic? You guys can sit down now, thanks. That cryptic, that mysterious, back in Genesis 3:15, and the seed of the woman contending against the seed. God was talking to the serpent, said, your seed's going to contend with her seed. Whose seed's going to win? Whose offspring's going to win? And that promise, and it was given. And that text is Genesis 18:10, but it's quoted in our Romans text today. See, God can just say something like, doesn't have to be fanfare and pomp and circumstance. God just came and he says, about this time next year, your wife, Sarah, is going to have a baby. Now, who was he telling this to? Sarah was well past childbearing age. Remember, I don't even remember what message it was, but it's sometime back. And it's like Abraham and Sarah, and it's like, we're going to have a what? Abraham, what does it say? As good as dead, as far as being able himself to father a child. But God had promised something, hadn't he? See, and that's what we're going to look at. These chapters 9, chapter 10, chapter 11, I have to admit, it just explosions for me. And just the I can't think of a better word. There's probably, but the magnificence of God's teaching in Romans 9, 10 and 11. What we have to remember is the gospel of God is the gospel of God. And the gospel of God is based on his promise, and he tells us that. If you would turn in your Bibles with me to Romans 9, verse 1. Romans 9, 1. Romans 9, 1, I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. They had it all, and they lost it all. There was a remnant. Yes, there was always a remnant, but overall, they were the unique people of God. Every spiritual blessing imaginable. And then the greatest one, the Christ, came from them. Jesus, we know that, don't we? As a Jew. They're like the person that won the millions in the lottery and 4 years later they're broken in debt. They were like the former NFL football player who, several years later, he's selling his Super Bowl ring so he can have something to eat. They had it all. And why? Why? How did this happen? How could this happen? Well, I'm not saying it covers everything, but as I ponder this, just ponder this and coming back to it, how could this happen? They didn't know what they had. They didn't know what God offered. And our brother Mark here, see, I throw that brother in there because you're Baptist. That goes back to the, sorry, we'll get off of that. But he shared the wonder, the glory that those shepherds, those dirty night shepherds, the glory they had. See, if you don't understand that, you don't understand what God's done. Now, I want to read something to you, and the reference is, now, you know, I mentioned last week, Carrie's reading through the Bible this year in the King James Version. Well, I'm reading through the Bible this year in the New Living Testament, so we're kind of over here. But I want to read a text out of the Psalms to you from the New Living Testament. And I'll give you the reference so you know I'm not pulling any flim-flam, but I'd like for you to listen to it in this. You'll hear it better what if you listen to the words, and if you're not trying to say, well, that is not what my Bible said, just no flim-flam. Psalm 33, verses 1 to 9 is what I'm going to read. They did not know what they had. Psalm 33, verse 1, let the godly sing for joy to the Lord. It is fitting for the pure to praise him. Praise the Lord with melodies on the lyre. Make music for him on the 10-stringed harp. Sing a new song of praise to him. Play skillfully on the harp and sing with joy. Now we're coming to what I want to come to. For the word of the Lord holds true. That's what I read this week. I think a lot of times when we're doing that, and that the word just keeps washing over and through our lives, and then different things we're going through or with this study, and there it is. About this time next year, or this time next year, some of your Bibles have, and that says, your wife, Sarah, is going to have a baby, going to have a son. The word of the Lord holds true. This gets better. And we can trust everything he does. He loves whatever is just and good. The unfailing love of the Lord fills the earth. Hang on to your seats. It just keeps getting better and better. The Lord merely spoke, and the heavens were created. He breathed the word, and all the stars were born. He assigned the sea its boundaries and locked the oceans in vast reservoirs. Let the whole world fear the Lord and let everyone stand in awe of him. For when he spoke, the world began. It appeared at his command. God says something. God says something. He says something, doesn't he? And he had come to Abraham about this time next year. Because what we're going to see today as we go through this, that it's God. The gospel of God is the gospel of God. It's not my gospel. It's not your gospel. Paul talked about another gospel. It's not another gospel. It's not our refined gospel. It's not our make it fit gospel. God did it. God did it. You know why the Jews struggled, those that weren't part of that remnant? It was inconceivable to them, these ideas of mercy and grace. It was inconceivable to them that there was something like that, some religious something offered that they couldn't work for. They just couldn't separate that we need, there's something, there needs to be something that we can do. It can't just be that God presents this to us and we trust him for it. It's got to be more than faith. Mercy and grace were inconceivable to them. You know what's inconceivable, though, actually? The idea, this salvation glory gift, that we think that we could lift one little finger to deserve it or to earn it. That's what's ludicrous. That's what's inconceivable. What do mercy and grace tell us? Mercy and grace tell us that it's God and God alone. And we say, we see what you've done, we believe what you've done, we receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. If you turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. The Apostle Paul can state it more clearly than I can. 1 Corinthians, and this is on your study sheet too, by the way, inside in the middle, God's inconceivable offer of salvation. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6 through 9, and I'm going to read this in the NIV. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Listen to this now. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that had been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, what? They would not have crucified the Lord of glory. There was Jesus. And it didn't just start, you know, sometimes we think it just started with Jesus coming in the New Testament. But, I mean, if you look, you know, the Exodus, they hauled idols out of Egypt. Ezekiel 20, verses 7 and 8, God addresses, they said, you hauled idols out of Egypt. Idols defiling you. Elijah, what did Elijah say? What he did his best Eeyore imitation, didn't he? Oh, I'm the only one. We've all kind of felt like that, haven't we? God said, no, you aren't. There's not very many. I mean, there were 7,000, but that's not very many compared to the nation. But that's God's prophet, the great Elijah. That's how bad it was. That the ruling powers, they wanted to kill Elijah. He looked around. It was so bad, he said, there's nobody else, is there? They had it all. But it was their gospel. And I know I'm pushing gospel back to the Old Testament, but I think you can follow me with that. I think you can follow me. What God offered. God had this unbelievable offer, and they couldn't believe it. When we begin understanding the glory of our salvation, see, it's great, a new believer. What'd you say, the one guy, he was a new believer, and he was so excited his socks were going up and down. Folks, that shouldn't quit. If we're walking with God and his word, we should never tire of his word. It should never be, oh, I've got to read the Bible. I just, my heart praises God for his word every day. Just every day. Carrie reads one day, I read the next day, and it just, every day. And the salvation that we have, just the tip of the iceberg. That this great and glorious God, holy, majestic, God most high, he wants to embrace us and bring us into the very best of what he has to offer. How could we ever tire of that? Why would we come up with something else? Because we don't get the offer. We don't understand the offer. They so misunderstood it that says, back in verse 8, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9, I mean, 1 Corinthians 2 again, sorry. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. We get little inklings, and it's really good, isn't it? We start understanding God's grace, and wow, is it wonderful. And his mercy and God's love and the concept of sharing in God's righteousness and holiness. Filthy me, my righteousnesses as filthy rags, looked at as righteous and pure and holy before this holy, awesome God. And we can just drink all of that in and praise God, and we're just, it's the tip of the iceberg. We're just getting to know this glorious salvation gift that was brought to us. Our salvation does not depend on our spiritual heritage. And see, that was what the Jews thought. They looked more at their spiritual heritage. What do we call it now? They looked more at their religion. They looked more at their denomination than they looked to God. Well, that's going to be a great disappointment. That's going to be a great disappointment. Secondly, our salvation does depend on the character of God. Verses 6 through 13, back to our sword drill, back in Romans 9. I think we're going to stay there now. Romans 9, verses 6 through 13. But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for all who are descended from Israel, for not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel, and not all are children of Abraham, because they are his offspring. I'm sorry, I'm having trouble reading. I do have the right glasses on, sorry. Let me come back here now. And not all are children of Abraham, because they are his offspring, but through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. Thus, today's title for today, it's the children of the promise. It's not the children of I'm of this religion. It's not the children of I grew up in church. It's not the children of this denomination. It's the children who believe God, and God promised that he would bring a Savior. And he brought a Savior. Because when God says something, his words are all true. It's the children of the promise. For this is what the promise said. About this time next year, I will return and Sarah shall have a son. That's the Genesis 18:10 quoted. Verse 10, and not only so, but also when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born and had done nothing either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of him who calls. She was told, the older will serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. Our spiritual inheritance is based on the promise of God. Now, if you want to write down a reference to check out later and follow this, look at Genesis 3, 16 to 18. And it talks about that, who the seed was, and it was Jesus, Son of God. It talks about, we're not going to go there today, but you want to do more study. I think that's on your study sheet also. But there are two things that happen here that God's showing that it's God doing it. He said, I made a promise to Sarah. He made a promise to the one woman, Sarah, who's past childbearing age. About a year from now, you're going to have a son. And she did. Several of us stood up. You know Christ, you're living proof of that promise holding true. Because Jesus, our Redeemer, through that seed, through that promise, came to this earth and made the ultimate sacrifice and brought redemption to the planet, to whoever will believe. The second here is speaking of Rebekah. And said, when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born, and had done nothing either good or bad. See, well, that's where when we say, well, when we get to heaven, well, you'll talk to people, and a lot of people really, it seems, believe that. Well, I think my good will outweigh my bad. It's not about that. It's not about that. It's about the promise. Do you believe God's promise? They had done nothing good in order that God's purpose of election might continue. Well, what's that speaking of there? They're seeing that God wants us to see a timeline. The Apostle Paul wants to see that. See, can we see this as God doing this? You know what's so great about understanding completely that God is the one who does our salvation is how strong it is and how secure, rock solid. Our spiritual inheritance is determined and directed by God's sovereign choice. Verse 14, what shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? And Paul says, by no means. Now, if we're thinking, how can we make this statement? Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. How can we, you know, if you're thinking, and we're going like, well, that's not right. Well, that's unfair. Well, that's not just. Well, you're kind of following what Paul's saying is that in our human minds it might not be. But, you know, you read the commentators and they say, and it's one of our phrases, God is God. God is God. God is sovereign Lord. And what they will bring out is that all are under condemnation. If God chooses to have mercy on some, and we're going to get to that in a few verses, then God does. If he chooses to have compassion on some, he's God. He can do things like that. Now, the problem that we go wrong when we're studying through Romans in general, and especially as we're going to be going through Romans 9, 10, and 11, what have we talked about when we try to answer those unanswerable questions? And I told you, I took the pressure off myself. You've got all these men and they can't do it. Now, if you can believe this, even MacArthur admits he can't. So we just let it rest. God's God. His word holds true. We say, well, here he chose some, he didn't choose others. But we're going to see in chapter 2, it says, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, I can't understand that. Well, big deal. Do you understand the inner workings of your computer? Do you use a computer? And that's just on a small scale compared to this. It's that thing that we've dealt with, Bible church background, Baptist church background, fundamentalist background, we're the answer people. We've got to have an answer for everything. That's not true. It's not true. We've been wrongly taught with that. I'm not saying someone was trying to, you know, it was wicked in doing this because we think, oh yeah, we've got to have answers because we want people to come to the Lord. Well, sometimes they aren't there. At the end of these three chapters, 9, 10, and 11, it's going to talk about God's wisdom is what? Unsearchable. His paths are what? Past what? But yet we try to find them out. What we're going to do is, what does the Bible say? God is going to show his choices through here. And we rebel against that. It's against our human nature, our opinion, and boy, it's against all of those things. But do we believe God's word or not? See, this is why I say it depends on the character of God. Folks, do you know that God really is good? I don't mean kind of where we can sing the chorus. I mean, do you know God is so good? Are you so convinced of God's goodness that nobody, nothing anyone can say can tarnish God's good image as our Father in heaven? That's where we need to be. And someone will say, oh, well, you're just one of those and you're not scientific or you don't want the facts. No, I've got the facts. God's got the facts. I don't have to have all the facts. I have to know the things that God wants me to know and believe those things, and I'm good to go. And you've heard me say before, you won't stand hear me and I hope ever stand here and defend God in that way or apologize for God or try to do some weird convoluted process of theology to try to explain and say, well, I know this looks unfair, but it's not really. It's God. What do we read in Psalm 33? What do we read throughout? God's God. All his ways are just and righteous. The earth is filled with his unfailing love. So don't be bringing that stuff to me that God's unfair. Love Jacob, Esau I hated. Can't explain that one a lot. We do it with you got to, in comparison to love Christ, hating your parents and those kinds of things. We're not going to spend a lot of time on that. One person said that he thinks it was really actually speaking of the nations that grew from Jacob, the nation that grew from Esau. But I just can't give you a real good answer there. And you know what? I'm pretty good with that. Somebody wants to talk about that later or something, we can. But don't miss the main point of seeing God's choice through our salvation. Our salvation does not depend upon our spiritual heritage. Our salvation does depend upon the character of God. Our salvation does depend on compassion, on the compassion and mercy of God, verses 14 through 18. What shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? By no means. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it depends. This is really hard to take. But is it God's word or not? It's not hard for me to take, but it for people in general, this verse, this is a big tough one to swallow. It does not depend on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. You know, your Bible's there, King James, New King James, New American Standard says, doesn't depend on human will or something like, or running. And what that thought is it's the hamster in the cage and he's running and we'll work harder, we will run faster, we can do this thing. No, you can't. It's mercy, it's grace, it's the promise of God. If you have a salvation that you think you can work to achieve, you don't have the salvation that God offers. Because we can't touch it. That's what I was trying to say with mercy and grace. Mercy and grace tell us this is how God had to come. God so loved the world. He didn't so negotiate with the world. He didn't come and say, well, let's work out something that you can be a part of, a joint effort here. He so loved the world, he brings a salvation gift that's glorious. The reason it's not glorious to some is because it's not the gift that God brought. They don't understand the offer. And when the little light starts coming on and flickering, and we start understanding what God has done, it's worship. It's worship. It's the majesty of God. We're the dirty night shepherds that Brother Mark was talking about. Boy, they might not have had anything else to say, but they had the glory of the message. Our salvation does depend on the compassion and mercy of God. So then it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. So then he has mercy on whomever he wills, and he hardens whomever he wills. We can't really understand those things or explain them. But let me just come back to that psalm. The word of the Lord holds true. We can trust everything he does. Are you there with that? I trust God with it. I could, in my human emotions, I could say, oh, I don't know, boy, that seems unfair. And Paul's going to continue to address this in verse, this is where we begin next week. You will say to me then, well, why does he still find fault? Well, we're going to take that challenge, the rights of the potter. We're going to look at that next week. But for me, God said it, I trust it. See, we have this thing that we say, well, I can't understand. It's like, well, because we can't understand something, it's not true. I put that, if you want something to for a mind teaser, put that, well, I can't understand it, so it must not be true, over against, well, but I believe the Bible is the word of God. Well, which is it? The goodness of God, the greatness of God, the majesty of God. Can we believe God? To me, I just love it. That just so about this time next year. Because God said it, folks. Because God said it. And here you are. And here I am. because God said it and Jesus came and paid it all. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to us this morning. Father, again, I'll do it today. I praise your glorious word, how good you are to us in giving us black and white. And your ways are past finding out. You show us the things that we need to know. And you show us your goodness. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.